Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
On that. Oh, I see a little dot. It's following my eyes. Oh, that's cool. That's cool. It's like switching focus. I feel like mini Tony Stark. We good? I think we good. Okay. Anyways, hello, welcome back. It's CJ. This is Game Day Gridiron. I do appreciate everybody for coming back in. It's been a little bit of hiatus. I'm sorry about that. I had to do some work to get this one project I really needed to get done. But I did post some shorts, some good, you know, content on the side. It's just not a full podcast because I do want to get some more information before I did want to start this podcast. And holy hell, I'm so glad that I did that because earlier this week, was a news bomb in terms of sports. Like, you couldn't go wrong any which direction you wanted to go, really, with this one. And where I'm going to start today is going to be something that started back a couple months ago that I've raved on a lot about. But it seems like we forgot because we thought that this year was going to be better. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, then you probably understand it a bit. It has to do with the... Damn, I have to restart that. Okay, let me try again because I can't speak today. If you're watching this unedited, by the way, I don't want to hear nothing, okay? If you hear this unedited, I don't want to hear nothing. But anyways, the Dallas Mavericks finally let go of GM Nico Harrison after many years of the organization. Nico Harrison is also the same man that constructed the 2024 finals roster for the Dallas Mavericks. But he is known more for bad than he is good. I mean, remember when we were talking about this man even being hired for the Dallas Mavericks in the first place? I mean, Mark Cuban, back when he had full ownership of the team, decided, hey, let's take a gamble on this guy because, you know, even though that he doesn't have any coach, you know, GM experience, he's not been a GM at any really high level whatsoever, you know. He's just been a Nike GM for a couple of years. They're like, let's still take a flyer on him. The funny thing about Harrison is the fact that he's the same person that botched the, you know, famous interview that led Steph Curry to signing with Under Armour instead of Nike. So that's already a, you know, red flag right there. But whatever, maybe he's changed since then. He's a players coach that people could talk to, they said, is what Harrison is. And then he went to the Dallas Mavericks, and at first it looked like a genius decision because he was making smart decision after smart decision and eventually brought the best team the Mavericks have seen since 2011 in the 2024 Dallas Mavericks. They had star after star, and they brought that entire team to the finals. And next year, we thought they were going to make a run for their money. We thought the Mavericks are back. We're like, this is going to be a fun season. And then mid-season, he ruins it all and makes arguably, and I don't even think it's arguably, I think it's undebatably, but some people will still say arguably. I'd say the most controversial, dumbest, stupidest decision in NBA history in trading Luka Doncic to the Los Angeles Lakers, practically gifted him to the Los Angeles Lakers, for peanuts on a dollar. I mean, I'm not trying to offend Anthony Davis because he's still a great player, but he's getting older. He's getting up there in age. I mean, Luka was their future. And now they traded him because of, oh, he's fat, he's lazy, oh, he doesn't condition well. We think defense wins championships. How stupid can you be? And it's not like, I'll give it to them. Mavs fans even think this trade was absolutely ridiculous. You traded a guy who is arguably top five in the entire NBA for one first-round pick. Mind you, we saw the trades that have happened over the past couple of seasons with Mikal Bridges, who, no disrespect to the brother, but he ain't Luka Doncic. And he got traded for, what, four first-round picks, five first-round picks from the New York Knicks? Karl Anthony Towns, same thing, but he didn't get traded for the package Luka did. You can look over to Kevin Durant, and this freaking offseason, he didn't get traded for the amount that he did. I mean, if you put this trade into 2K, it won't even go in. That's how ridiculous it is. And the fact of the matter is that you traded him when this guy loved this city, loved the team. Like, you got to think there's got to be something going on in Nico Harrison's head. I mean, take a look right here where he said, oh, well, I don't think I should be fired because I think I've done a good job here. If that were the case, there wouldn't be people chanting your name saying, fire Nico. Not just last season, but this season too. And the NBA practically handed them a gift for it. They said, first round pick, first overall pick, y'all got it. That's what I believe happened. I'm always fishy about that damn lotto. It always makes me fishy because how the hell did they get the number one overall pick with 1.9 odds? But, you know, whatever, right? They got Cooper Flagg, the undoubted number one overall pick, a Zion Williamson-like hyped player, a Victor Wembanyama-type player, whatever the hell you want to call it. And it's not like he's having a bad start to the season, but I think they're making him shoulder too much of the load by putting him at the point guard position. He's still a rookie in the NBA. He's got plenty of welcome to the NBA moments. He needs time to grow. But the Dallas Mavericks, they said they wanted to win now. This isn't a win now roster. I mean, when you look at the roster, they're practically under 40% for free this entire season. Now, that may sound good to some people, but you got to remember who they got on this team. They got Klay Thompson. His numbers dipped. Anthony Davis, his numbers dipped. I mean, you look at the bench support around them. I can't name every single player if it's going to take too long. But if you look statistically at every single player they have on their team, their three-point numbers have been down from last season. And that's what caused them to be practically the worst in the Western Conference. It's really ridiculous. And I just kept on hearing bad and bad things about Mr. Harrison and why he did what he did, man. To say when now, when your team went from a playoff contention before you traded Luka to after, where you guys were out of the playoffs entirely, dipped entirely, and this season you guys are still worst, it really comes to my mind of how idiotic this trade is. Like, if we were to go back throughout the entire course and history of the NBA, of the worst trades that ever happened, I don't think I could name another one that was worse. I don't think I can name one. Let me know if y'all can name one, but I really can't. I have not much left to say. I mean, it's a deserving fire. He deserved to get fired, man. Like, he might not be a bad person, but he cannot be a GM. He cannot be a coach. He cannot be a mentor. He sucks at all that. And it's evidence of this recent firing from the Dallas Mavericks organization. Proud of them. And another firing that happened, but in a different sport, in football, in the NFL, is from my fellow favorite team, the New York Giants. They recently fired Coach Brian the Bull after four seasons with the team, where in his first year he brought them to the playoffs despite having a lackluster roster and QB at that spot. And although that was fine, for that season, ever since he had that season, his win total has just been going down. It's been looking bad for the first part of the fact that you had...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Russell Wilson out there for the most part saying that he was a good quarterback. Then a couple games in, we saw exactly how that was going to be. He didn't do very well against some of those teams in his later stretch before he got benched. But you had a good QB in Jackson Dart. He's in concussion protocol right now. But it's the fact of the matter that he's not showing improvement. As a head coach, you're expected every single year to get better and better. Not to get worse and worse and worse. Now, granted, he didn't have the best team. And this is coming from a diehard Giants fan. But at the same time, you gotta acknowledge when you haven't been doing your part. Like, head coaches, they get blamed first. Before the players, before the organization, before the fans. The first person that gets blamed for losing is the head coach. And he did not do his job. But he was credited with the development of Josh Allen, who right now is scorching the league right now. One of the best players, if not, I think, the best player in the entire NFL. Just for what his impact is when he's on the field versus off the field. But getting back to topic, it's a deserving firing because he didn't do much with Daniel Jones. He actually shipped him off. But as soon as Daniel Jones left, he's having a monster season with the Indianapolis Colts. He had Saquon Barkley, made him into a star. Now, it's not really his fault that he left. It's more of the GM, Joe Schoen, of having him leave for basically nothing, even though I think that it wouldn't have made a difference with our team anyways. So it's probably for the best, honestly, but still, he got traded, and they're both doing amazing on different teams now, and it really begs the question if it's really Brian DeBoer's fault or the coach, you know, the players' faults. But yeah, it's interesting to see. I mean, I hope our next coach is good. You know, obviously the dream head coach candidate would be Lane Kiffin, but I think he's good where he's at in Ole Miss right now. I don't believe he's going to really make that decision to come over. But if not, we have a good candidate. We have Mike McCarthy, who's right now the odds-on favorite to be the next head coach for the New York Giants. That's going to be very interesting to see. We got many good candidates. Steve Spagnuolo for the Chiefs. But who I'd like to see as the next coach for the Giants is not a defensive-minded head coach. It's more of an offensive-minded head coach. And that's just to help with the development of Jackson Dart, because I do believe if we get Jackson Dart the help that he needs, he could be a very, very good quarterback. I swear, you just bring the right pieces to him, and he's going to look like an MVP-caliber player. Simple. But, okay, I'm getting very off track. Let's get back to our subject. And that's with Brian Kelly. So I said a couple of weeks ago how James Franklin got fired for doing such a terrible job as the head coach at Penn State. But I don't know if I went over Brian Kelly getting fired by LSU, because this is arguably worse than the entire saga that happened with Penn State, because James Franklin deserved to be fired, no doubt. But he did not deserve to get fired more than Brian Kelly. And that's a fact I will die on till the day I die that Brian Kelly deserved to get fired. Let me tell you what this dude did since he got to LSU. Not one anything, or not one S word. I can't say the word on here. I'm a family-friendly person till I die. But he did not do anything at LSU. Mind you, this is the same head coach that brought Notre Dame to multiple, national championships, multiple playoff appearances. He had so much success at Notre Dame and then just got up and left because he said, I don't want to do this anymore. This is But I don't want to be the coach at Notre Dame because of the fact I don't think I can get the players that I can get at LSU, which is sometimes a fair analogy, right? But he didn't do anything with it. He didn't do jack nothing. And we expect you to do great things. At LSU, the standard is not to just make the playoffs. It's to win the whole thing. And that was evident by the Joe Burrow era. That era was so crucial and so indicted and so famous in LSU history that it's just very natural standard to think that they're going to do that again. Where obviously, I don't think it will ever get back to that spot of how great it was when Burrow, Chase, you know, all those great guys were there. But Brian Kelly has not done anything. His best wins on his entire schedule was beating Alabama, but that's when you had Jaden Daniels. That's when you had an actual average defense. Ever since that win against Alabama when they had Bryce Young, Nick Saban, all of them back in the day, Brian Kelly hasn't really gone anywhere. He's had more losses to, you know, top-ranked teams than he had wins against top-ranked teams. And he's just not been doing his job as the head coach. I think another thing that led to his firing is the fact that you can't be a mean head coach anymore. What I mean by that is that the era of coaches acting tough and having that Nick Saban mentality is done. Players don't want that type of head coach. Players want that head coach that is a player-friendly head coach that loves his players, that talks to them, and makes them encourage them to play their best. In some ways, if you act like a douchebag and if you act like Nick Saban, for example, you're obviously going to get mad. Players are going to get mad by that. And you can't really necessarily, you know, yell at them anymore because you have the transfer portal, you have NIL, you have all these things that are now working against the head coach and now make it 10 times more harder to be a head coach than it was 20 years ago. And you have to assess all of that. And Brian Kelly just wasn't living up to that. His team has practically failed on him, just like Penn State did when they had James Franklin. And it hasn't gone any better. I mean, I saw the recent game they had against Alabama. But Bama still did so many bad things in that game, and they still won. I mean, credit to the defense. I mean, they held them to 9 points. The LSU defense did spectacular in that game, which is obviously a surprise at LSU. You don't really know them for having a good defense at all, but they did amazing in that game against Bama. They just did not have an offense. I don't think they scored a single point, like a single touchdown. Which is a big, something that really, you know, messes with a defender's head is the fact when his offense cannot score. This is coming from athlete himself. It's pain when your quarterback or your offense cannot score. It really does. Back to my New York Giants, right? Jackson Dart, like I said earlier, is in concussion protocol. And he cannot play over the next couple of games, which means that officially, this coming Sunday, Jameis Winston is back. Jameis Winston is back. He went all the way from QB3 to QB1 in a minute. And I'm not going to lie, I love me some Jameis Winston, man. The dude is funny. He's spiritual. He's amazing. Now, sometimes, I'm not going to say he's very bad at quarterback, but he's very, very on and off as a QB. He'll either give you free touchdowns, 400 yards, or he'll give you free touchdowns, 4 INTs, and 239 yards. No in between. He'll either give you a super stack good game, or he'll give you an atrocious game from a QB standpoint. He's the type of player to, he'll win you the game, but it's going to be a very, very rocky game. Okay, so I have some faith in them. And if I were to put some money on the Giants anytime right now, it would probably not be right now, just for the simple fact that we don't have an official head coach. But if we did have an official head coach right now, I'd put a lot of money on Jameis Winston to probably do a very, very good job this coming Sunday, which is going to be amazing. next, I want to shift back to basketball and kind of going back and forth on different, you know, topics in the sports. Mikey Williams might be back. He might be back because he just had 30 points under his new head coach, Mike Bibby, at I think it's USF or it's Sacramento State. I'm sorry, Sacramento State. I didn't know the official state that Mikey went to because I think he went to Florida or the USF a couple of years ago, and then he transferred to Sacramento State, which makes sense. But Mikey Williams is going off. Remember when we were hyping this dude to be better than, you know, Bronny James and him being one of the best recruits in the entire nation? Those days are over. I'll give you that. A lot of things that have happened that messed up with, you know, Mikey's, you know, rankings or how good he was because of off the field or off the court, I'm sorry, issues. You know, it was legal troubles, I believe he was in too. You know, stuff on the court in terms of coaching and stuff like that messed with him. It's something like that. I don't know the entire story, okay, but it's things like that that made Mikey Williams and his stock go all the way down. And in that, he's been working and hustling his way to get back. So I give credit where credit is due. He's been going off this season in college. And if he keeps this record up, he has a chance to lead his team all the way over to the NCAA playoffs and potentially have a spot in the 2026 NBA draft, which is very going to be hyped to see. I'm very excited to see what he's going to do with it. It's just very crazy at the same time. I don't know how old Mikey is, but the fact that next year draftees will be younger than me for the first time in my life makes me contemplate what am I doing. You know, it happens to everybody. Once you reach that age where professional athletes are younger than you, you're kind of like, oh, damn, what am I doing here? But that's besides the point, right? Next, it's in the same topic, basketball. I show speed just linked up with Kevin Durant over the course of the past week. And they are doing a segment. I show speed's doing a whole entire segment of Speed Goes Pro, where he tests his stats, he tests his abilities of competing in other sports, like football, basketball, baseball, you know, stuff like that. Like, it's mainly football and basketball. I'll give it that. But he's testing his abilities to be a pro athlete, which this man is very, very athletic. I'll give him that. He may not be very good at the sports side of it, but he is very an athletic person and a freaking athlete. People know the difference between an athlete and a player. You know what I mean? He's very athletic, though. This guy can run like no other, jump like no other. He can do back wheels or like, whatchamacallit, backflips, all that stuff. I'm just like, damn, he is an athletic specimen. He even potentially, if that time is real, on the segment that he did with Kevin Durant, if it is real, then he broke the entire full court dash record time of like 2.9 seconds, free seconds. The average a player gets is 3.2 seconds. Ishow Speed had 2.8. And that's the average, but like, Speed went below the average by 0.4 points. That is very, very impressive to do, especially with his first time. This is the first time this man did it. Like, he doesn't train, like, at least often before he did this entire series. He was never really an athletic person, as well as I could see, for a long time. But I guess he just, I don't know, that's just genetics. You can't train some things, man. That's what makes me so mad. Like, there are things in life where you could just be not good at a certain sport, but you're so athletic to the point where it's just like, it won't even matter. It won't even matter. So, whatever. I just think I think it's kind of like funny to see it. You know, guys, maybe it's just me. I don't know. Just my personal perspective. Now, I've wanted to do this for so long on this because I think it's a very interesting thing to bring up, but I love shoes. Like, I love shoes so freaking much, guys. Like, I have a whole shoe collection. I have over 30 shoes in my entire collection. Half of those are basketball shoes. Half of those are regular shoes. But I just love shoes overall because of the fact that they're stylish to wear. And I play basketball, too. So it's nice to have some shoes that can definitely help you out on the court. Now, there's been a lot of good releases this year in terms of shoes that came out. I want to list some of my favorites. I want to do a top five list because I haven't done this in a little while. Let's see. I'll give the new Shies that came out. This is in no specific order. I like those Shies, especially I think it's the pink colorway and the blue colorway. Those Shies are good. I think he got those shoes with Converse. Those are very, very nice, especially the little zipper that goes up in the middle. I love those. The Jaw Freeze, iconic. I love those shoes. They're very, very stylish. They also perform very, very good for their liking. Might not last you a long time, but they are still very clean basketball shoes, better than his last two generations, if I had to say. The Way of Wade 808 Ultras, you're probably like, you never had these shoes before. Well, I can already tell because I have a buddy that has those shoes, and let me tell you, they feel like marshmallows on your feet. They are insanely comfortable. They give Kobe-like performance for half the price, and they're just way better in fitting and way better with traction on the court. They have an integrated carbon fiber plate. I mean, what more could you ask for? Like, seriously. I really hope this thing doesn't die. It's saying it's on red. Please don't die. Okay. I don't know how much more time I have. But let me keep on going. I said Jaw Freeze. I said Way of Wade 808 Ultras. I said the Shy Shoes. What else I got? You know, I wanted to say Sabrina's' shoes. I really did. But problem with Sabrina's' shoes is they have no traction whatsoever. I mean, you really look at the traction part of the shoe, and it's just like you're just sliding and gliding and all that stuff. And I'm just like, I don't want to really try that. I mean, Nike is known for making good performance basketball shoes, but that is not it. It's not it, gang. Like, it's not. You're going to be slipping and sliding. That's for all I know. But I wouldn't put that in this category. This is like the good tier basketball shoes where it's very, very, how do I say this? Limited, okay? This is a surprise right here. This is a surprise shoe. Is the Joker ones. These are Nikola Jokic's signature basketball shoes. Specifically in the Peppa Pig colorway. I love those shoes, man. I love them. I'll be straight up with you. They are very, very good performance-wise. They have incredible traction. They have incredible technology built inside with them, especially with not being a major basketball or major brand shoe. They also look stylish. They look clean with the, you know, blue and pink colorways. They look nice. And they're easy to go. They're true to size, which I love in a basketball shoe. You never have to be messed up with it. And they're very, very, you know, fitting. I love a fitting basketball shoe that can work on the court. That's just me, okay? And then that final spot of basketball shoes released this year. Ooh, that's a good one. People say the Jason Tatums are horrible, respectfully. Like, don't get those Jason Tatums. They have backwards technology, not so good. With the Lukas, I have so much problems with my Luka 2s. Like, they say they're going to break in. They have not broken in, man. They haven't even broken in yet. They're so uncomfortable. I really hope the Luka 4s are different, but they're probably not at the price point. Maybe they've changed with Jordan Brand. Maybe they've developed over the last two generations of Luka shoes, but from the ones that I got, it's a hell no. It's a hell no. Respectfully, not going to happen. But, okay, we'll go over to another shoe. I think to round out the best basketball shoes of this year would be Steph Curry's new shoe that came out this year. I heard the flow, you know, tech and engineering in the shoe is incredible. To stop on a dime, unless you're maybe on a very, very dusty court, depending on where you're at. But there's that. But there's also the aspect of, how do I say this? The aspect of the shoe being so comfortable on the inside that it feels like you're running on even something lighter than marshmallows. It is incredibly fitting. From what I heard, the only problem with it is it might be a little bit expensive for somebody that's trying to look for an affordable hoop shoe. But if you have the money, definitely go check it out. Definitely go feel it, you know, test it out, whatever you have to do, because it's probably the best hoop shoe of the year outside of everything that's on this list. And that's probably my top five hoop shoes of the year, personally, from me. There's also the Nike Kobe 6 Caitlin Clarks that came out, but it's not really like something I want to do because it's a Kobe. I mean, a Kobe 6, everybody knows the 6 Protros. And plus, their only big thing or that I like about it is the name. The colorway might not be it. Honestly, it's probably only that thing that's good because it has the name Caitlin Clark on it. So there's that. But if I had to choose a shoe on this list that I'm excited for, it would be the 808 Ultras from Way of Wade because they are an amazing brand. Speaking of Way of Wade, I have some new shoes. Some new shoes. New hoop shoes that I want to debut for you guys to show you how good Way of Wade is. Because I never had a pair of Way of Wade shoes myself that has the talent that they have now. I mean, this shoe is still as good as the Way of the Wade of Wade. How do I say it? The Way of Wade 808 Ultras. They're still very, very comfortable from what I'm hearing from different people. They're also very tech savvy and very comfortable. And I had some issues, or like not issues, I had some problems like thinking of like how good the traction is going to be. Because, I'm sorry guys, when you look at the bottom of the shoe, it doesn't really look like there's a good pattern that makes it stop on a dime. But from what I've heard from people is that it does. The colorway is great, by the way, from what I've seen. It looks beautiful. You guys are going to see. I don't want to like give away too much yet, but it's a very good colorway coming out. Those are probably my favorite hoop shoes of the year right now. Let me know in the comments what you guys think is your favorite hoop shoe of the entire year for right now. Now, everybody, ladies and gentlemen, I have an announcement to make. We have just started a new club basketball page. Yes, it is. Hobart gets their first club basketball page for any hoopers that want to join the club basketball team that I'm a part. We have a new page. It should be HWS Club Ball on Instagram. That's where we're going to be posting our results to some of our games, the result of some of the footage that we capture, some of the media stuff that we get in our basketball club, because it's very, very fun and energetic, and I think it should be seen with the world. I really do feel like it's something special for all of us to do. And you guys are going to be seeing the side of us that you normally don't do at school. And this is for mainly most of the club basketball people that want to see it. It's going to be a very, very fun time if you give it the chance, definitely. yeah, we should be posting on that soon. And, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's it for what I wanted to say. Oh, and I'm pretty sure I have a new guest that will be coming soon. It's either they're coming soon before break or maybe the week after, one of the two. It's really the time that I'm able to schedule with this certain type of person. But yeah, I think that's good. Also, I think I gotta say this too as well, because I just gotta do. Like, I gotta say my top five NBA players ever. Top 10, actually. Because top 5 is too easy, in my opinion. I think top 5 is like, it's like a general basis of what you could get with top, you know, 5. So, I'm going to look over. So, top 10 NBA players of all time. Now, I'm going to go from 1 to 10. I think that's a lot better than going from 10 to 1. It definitely is. So, number 1 is a tie between LeBron James and Michael Jordan, right? Those are the obvious two. Whether you put them at 1 or 2 is up to you, but I'm going to put them at 1 because I'm not trying to deal with none of those debates right now. Number 3, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has all the championships, the titles, the waves. He deserves to be number three for a majority of reasons. He has every right to be number three. This is where the fall off kind of comes. Where I would put this now, I would put... This is very, very... This is a tough list. This is off the top of my head, too. Oh, okay. This is where I put Shaq at four. He was just that guy, man. Shaq was a dominant freak. If you don't know much about Shaq, go watch his, you know, tape. Trust me, this dude was a dog. Number five, Magic Johnson. I think that's number five, right? Yeah, that's number five. Or number four, because I tied Jordan and LeBron. That's number four only? So, okay. I gotta go Bird. Do I go Bird? I mean, Larry Bird was good, but he wasn't as good as Magic Johnson, man. It's a hard list. I'm gonna put respect on Larry Bird's name. From this point, it probably just descends down. I'm probably gonna forget some names, but this is where I put. I feel like this is where I put like Tim Duncan, because he was also a dog too, bro. This man was one of the greatest ever. I gotta put Tim Duncan there. I gotta put Kobe Bryant probably after that. So that's like what, five? That's like six, seven. Did I really just say a meme? I really just said a meme. What? No, man. I didn't even mean to do that. I didn't even mean to do that. I'm sorry. I'm just that guy, right? Okay. Anyways, number eight. This is where I put Steph Curry. Number eight. This might be a cooked list. Number nine. Let's put... Kind of insane we don't have Bill Russell in the top 10. I'll put Will Chamberlain there, number nine. Number 10, give it to my boy KD. Give it to KD, yeah. He's that good of a guy. I put Steph above him because obviously Steph deserves to be above him. But that would be my list right now. I probably am forgetting so many good legends. Don't scream at me. This is at the top of my head. Okay, it's very hard to do this after going from the top five. Trust me, if you've done it yourself, you've done it yourself. So it's insane to see. Okay, going back to the winning side, we have snow. We have snow for the first time ever this entire year. New York City and New Jersey finally has snow. We are going to have the snowiest winter ever, it seems like, because I got this new information just now from Power 105.1, which is a radio news network, and it's apparently going to be the rainiest season ever. Like, yeah, honestly, I love it, because everybody knows I love a snowy white Christmas. I do like a snowy like white Christmas. People love just sitting by the fireplace, just watching a sport. I remember watching Christmas Day sports specifically. That was a good time. That was amazing. That just felt amazing, right? And okay, like I said, that was an amazing time. I just wanted to say that because people often forget that sometimes we don't get a lot of snow up here for a lot of winters, but this is gonna be the first one in a long time that we will. Okay, right? Now, going back, LeBron James, he's been out for a couple weeks, but the Lakers are doing amazing. They're doing, you know, fantastic, right, to start the season. And he just been assigned to the G League team, the South Bay Lakers. Now, people are quick to comment on this, as people usually do, and they are clowning it for a little bit. And I'm just like, you do realize that a lot of star players, when they're ramping back from a major setback or injury, go to their G League team to ramp up back to full basketball competition. Like, it's normalized in the NBA, but apparently once LeBron James does it, there's a problem. There's not a problem. The problem is, like, the problem is that people just clown on LeBron for anything. And that's the facts. People people literally will clown on LeBron if he's sitting on the bench instead of not. When the simple fact is the NBA needs LeBron James. They need him.
escape is rain ride. Niggas fade down 100 bands. Hiding in the state. Imagine they should turn 100 in a rate. I was doing 80 on the interstate. Trying to make a back for my class, dog.